I miss those days. Don't you? Hello, everybody. Would you stand with me? And for those of you that are online, glad that you're with us today. And it's a Sunday, man. Was it the third Sunday of 2021? My first Sunday being back. And here's some scripture for us to meditate on. We're going to have a good time today. Colossians, classic verse. Colossians 1, 15 through 17. Let's stir in this verse. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, first in preeminence. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, things that are visible, things that are invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. Is that a mouthful of words? To put our mind around that truth. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the person and the being of your Son. We come, Lord, as people on a journey to meet Jesus and to know Jesus, to submit to the Lordship and follow Jesus. Lord, we ask, God, that you would bless our time here this Sunday morning, that you would send your Spirit upon each one of us. May you open our eyes that we might see more clearly. We pray, Lord Jesus, that you would open our ears, that we would hear deep within our soul the voice of God, that you would speak into our hearts and into our lives. We pray that you would do this for your glory and for your kingdom. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you all may be seated. It's good to be with you. Last two Sundays, I told Pastor Vince, I don't know about you, but last year was an interesting year for Pastor Frank. It was a hard year. I needed a vacation, so I went on a two-week vacation the last 2 weeks, and it was so cool to just quiet my heart and sit before the throne of God, and I watched the services. It was the first time I really sat. It was kind of cool. I have my coffee. I'm all ready to go. I turn on the YouTube channel, and I'm just singing along and watching the messages. And Pastor Vince gave two great messages last week. And he was talking about soul care at one point in his sermon. And I was like, right on, Pastor Vince. I mean, to take spiritual care of our lives, to find balance, to find rest. You know, even God rests. On the seventh day, God rested. It's a good thing to rest. And that's what I got to do these last few weeks, just kind of reflecting and thinking and trying to sit alone and be with God and process last year as we came through Christmas and so forth. And what a year. I recently read a leadership journal article. It's a leadership article that's written to pastors, and I was reading that this article, and it made me smile, and I want to read a portion of it to you this morning. I read it to our ministry staff, and it kind of encouraged them, and I just want to let you in maybe a little bit about my world. The title of the article is Nothing Pastors Do Right Now Will Be Right. Said, what a crazy time to be a pastor. The only thing you can be absolutely sure of is no matter what you do or don't do, people will tell you you did it wrong. If you ask the church to abide by the state's health orders, you're bowing to Caesar. If you ignore the guidelines, you don't care if people die. If you express support for the president, you don't care about character. If you disagree with Republicans, you don't care about unborn babies. If you speak about racial reconciliation, you're pushing a far-left agenda. If you don't, you're a racist. To make it even more challenging, people have more channels than ever before to express their disdain for your decision making. Verbal attacks on Sunday morning between services, passive-aggressive emails, voicemails, text messages, or posts on Facebook. And it goes well beyond personal attacks. It is heartbreaking to see people you've cared for years not only leave your church, but act and speak in ways that are clearly not what you'd expect to see in a mature disciple. We are seeing people mold their faith into whatever best fits their personal beliefs and political persuasion, while high-profile leaders on both sides egg them on. Sure, people are displeased, but that has always been the hazards of ministry. None of the Old Testament prophets won popularity contests, and the Apostle Paul likely won the most likely to be beheaded at the first annual Apostles' Conference. The reality is, God is using this pandemic to sift the church, to separate wheat from the chaff. I have no doubt when we emerge from this mess, many of our churches will be smaller in attendance. But that's necessarily not a bad thing. And the article went on to encourage pastors to focus on Jesus and make radical followers of Jesus in the days we find ourselves living in. It was a great article. It made me smile. It made me nod my head. I was grateful that not all that the article talked about happened within our church. But last year was a difficult year, a challenging year to shepherd a church. And I mean, last year was the first year I ever did a wedding with a face mask on. Last year, it's like, how do you do a memorial service, a funeral? Do you do it inside? Do you do it outside? How do you do this? Lockdowns. How do you open the church safely in a responsible way and still exercise our freedom of assembly and worship of God in community? How do you do that? Zoom leadership meetings, Zoom growth group meetings. Hey, as a police chaplain, seeing police injustice and social unrest was hard last year. It was very difficult. And how do we as followers of Jesus process all this? Do we engage in violence? Do we hide from the discussion? What is the Jesus way? People, we enter into the culture that we live in, speaking truth and love. And when we do that, we become the salt of the earth and the light of the world that Jesus called us to be. You don't fight, you don't flee. You engage. Isn't that the Jesus way? Difficult times. Interesting year. As I reflect back on last year, I just praise God. As I could almost feel like the Lord was just guiding us the whole way. And as talking with pastoral staff and ministry staff, it's like we just felt as we look back on last year like the Lord was always with us as we were yielding and praying and seeking God, that He was speaking into our hearts. We look back and feel like He just guided us as a Jesus community, was always there with us. Somebody said, we just felt the shadow of His hand over us. And I'm like, that's good. Man, I got to tell you, as we say goodbye to 2020 and we enter 2021, I praise God for Pastor Vince. Guy's awesome. He's a good man. He loves the Lord. Solid. Godly man, good. He's a great executive pastor, and the things he does behind the scenes, you'd be so proud of him. And he's an honest, authentic man. I just love him. I'm so grateful for him. I'm so grateful for Pastor Graham. What a great, seasoned soldier that's walked with Jesus many years. His presence in my life is such a blessing. And Pastor David is awesome. Right now, our youth is on a winter retreat. Pastor Vince is up there just in case Pastor David gets a phone call that his wife's water broke and he's out the door. PV's taken over, right? Pastor David he's got a good heart. He's a gift. Him and his wife, his family, I'm just so grateful for him, God bringing him to this church. And Fina's amazing. It's the greatest secret at this church is Fina. Right, guys, right? I mean, Millette is unbelievable. She is such a... I mean, I look at our church, I'm just so grateful for this church. And I look back and I say, God, thank you for this church. We survived last year, and in many ways, this church didn't just survive, it thrived. Our leadership team's a bunch of godly individuals, growth group leaders that are good hearts, wanting to engage in fellowship within our community. Man, God bless our missions committee. You guys, in 2021, we're going to keep pressing forward and helping people meet, know, and follow Jesus. That's why we exist. That's why we're here. We're here to help people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Every week, we're going to feed 800-plus kids in the Philippines at a dump in Manila. We're going to continue to do that, giving them the Jesus Kids Club, and we're feeding the poor. We're going to do our best to be the community that Jesus calls us to be this year. God is with us. You know, when I look back on last, have you ever been in an earthquake? You know, earthquakes are interesting. Do you remember the last time you were in an earthquake? Earthquakes are interesting because you don't see them coming. You're just kind of living life and doing well. You have your own ideas, your own plans, and all of a sudden, it just catches you, and it shocks you, it startles you, it rocks you to the core. And whenever you're in an earthquake, you immediately are seeking safety and protection, a solid place to hang during an earthquake. You know, when I look back on last year, it was a series of earthquakes. Biological earthquakes that nobody saw with COVID. Financial earthquakes. Social earthquakes. Political earthquakes. In just kept coming, right? Just kept coming. And whenever an earthquake hits, you always look for that solid place to hide. Where do I need to be, right? Hey, guys, when they were building this place, there was a steel beam that they put out. I watched them build this facility. There's a steel beam. That's where I'm going. I saw him build this going, dude, if there was ever an earthquake, I'd want to be under this steel structured beam. This place was built armor plated. It was great to watch him build it. Tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day. Praise God for the Reverend Martin Luther King, who led the protests of the civil rights movement here in America in the 1950s and 60s. A follower of Jesus who was powerfully used by Jesus. And he was named well, Dr. Martin Luther King. He was named after Martin Luther. Who in his day, Martin Luther, led protests seeking reform. In the 1500s, Martin Luther was seeking spiritual and theological reform as the church of his day had moved away from the clear message of Jesus. And in his protests, Martin Luther packaged so beautifully the essence of biblical Christianity, the essence of our faith that we hold to and cling to. It's solid, it's strong in the midst of storms. Last year, what we as followers of Jesus had to cling on to that other people didn't was our faith. Didn't you cling on to your faith last year? Our faith. COVID, my faith in Jesus. Social unrest, political, my faith. And for you and I had so many people say, Pastor Frank, I don't see how people survive without Christ. And I look at them, they don't. Jack Daniels just doesn't do it. Jack Daniels, Jesus Christ, which one's a more solid foundation? Just look at the world. Go on a ride along at 1:30 in the morning and see this family problems in our city that Jack Daniels creates. For you and I last year, we held to solid foundations of our faith. And since tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day, I'm reflecting on Martin Luther, and I began thinking of Martin Luther and the battle that he fought to hold and codify the faith that I cling to so tightly that gets me through things. Did you ever hear of the story of Martin Luther? In the 1500s, actually, it was 1517 that Pope Leo X was the Pope, and he abused his power. He wanted to build St. Peter's Cathedral in Rome. So the church back then began selling something called indulgences. Anyone heard of this? Indulgences. An indulgence is where you can pay the church money and by doing so remove a dead one that you loved from a place of suffering called purgatory and buy them entrance into heaven. The saying in 1517 was, as soon as a coin in the coffer rings, a soul from purgatory springs. The time was known as the Dark Ages, and not very many people could read back then. The Bible was only translated into Latin and Greek. No one had Bibles in their language, and no one had a Bible, really, except the clergy. Can you imagine if you didn't have a Bible, and you were relying on me to tell you the truths about Jesus? And I tell you that your dead family members are burning in purgatory. They're burning off the sins that Jesus' blood didn't cover. But if you give me money, you can buy them out of there and into heaven. Can you imagine how powerful that would be? My mom, Joyce, passed away in 2008. Cinda's dad just passed away 4 years ago, 2006. A person that you loved, imagine you understanding, you don't have a Bible, you can't read, and the church is teaching, you give me money, you can purchase your loved ones out of a place of suffering. Would that be a compelling message? Emotional message? Think about it. As the salesman from the Pope came to a village in Germany, they ran into a Roman Catholic priest who was a seminary professor, a theologian, and his name was Martin Luther. And he heard this teaching and he was outraged. And he declared that the Pope was abusing his power. He was abusing the Holy Scriptures. And he was distorting the message of the gospel, which is the good news of Jesus Christ and people he was. And Martin Luther intended for a theological discussion to take place in order to reform the teachings within the church. He said, and I want to quote what he said. He says, I felt driven by God to reform what had been deformed. That he was leading me on as a horse is led by a man. God, I understand that. You ever felt like God was just leading you? See, the Pope wanted him arrested for opposing him. And this became known as the Protestant or Protest Reformation Reform. Protest Reform. To reform the church back to the authentic message of Jesus. And from Martin Luther came the five principles of the Protestant Reformation. And people, they are as solid today as they were back then. I hold on to these all the time. I was holding on to these truths all through last year, and I know you were too. So I wanted to entitle this message this morning for my first Sunday back. Five sure foundations that we hold on to in 2021. These are the things that you hold on to, that we held on to in 2020, you hold on to in 2021. Martin Luther. Sola Scriptura. Scripture alone. Scripture alone. John 5:39. Jesus says, you study the Scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. But these are the very Scriptures that testify of me. Sola Scriptura. Scripture alone. 1 Timothy, the Apostle Paul says this, chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. But as for you, Timothy, continue in what you've learned and have become convinced of, because you know from these from whom you've learned it and how from the infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All Scripture, hear this, is God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed. and useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. A solid foundation in an earthquake. Amen? See, our faith is not based on what we think is right or what we feel is fair and just. Our faith is based on the careful examination of God's will as revealed in the Scriptures. People, does God exist? Does a Creator exist? And if so, does this Creator want to communicate with His creation? And if God exists and God wants to communicate with His creation, does God have the capacity to communicate clearly and without error? Is God a good communicator or is He not? God does exist and God wants to communicate with me and with you. And God is an awesome communicator and He's spoken clearly and without error. He's a very good communicator, the best communicator you'll ever meet. In His Word. The Word of God is the authority of our faith. Sola Scriptura, not the Pope in Rome, not what someone else says, not even what you say or what I say. Confession from Pastor Frank. Pastor Frank personally doesn't... I've struggled for years with the doctrine of hell. Okay? Do you know, just because I don't like the doctrine of hell doesn't make it 1 degree cooler? It's God. It's God breathed. These are God's words. He's smarter than me. He knows what He's doing, what He's talking about. People, He's smarter than you. Sola Scriptura. Scripture alone. These... To hold on to this in hard times, oh, amen. Right? How about faith alone? Faith alone. Scripture alone. Faith alone. This is Martin Luther's favorite verse in the Bible. He said he kept reading this over and over again. As in a monastery, in an Augustinian monastery, he kept reading Romans 1, 16 and 17. Realizing that our faith is what brings righteousness. We live by faith. Listen to this. The Apostle Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by work." No, the righteous will live by faith. Faith. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. "For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it's a gift from God. It's not by works, people, so that no one can boast. It is by the faith in the work of Jesus on the cross that you and I are saved. It's not in our works." See, the good news of the gospel is that He died for all of our sins on the cross, once for all. And that by receiving this by faith, you are saved, you are forgiven, you are justified by God. Jesus said from the cross, "It is finished. It is finished." What is finished? What is completed? The work of salvation for our lives is done. The remission of sins is paid for. I love this. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also died for sins once. For how much sin, people? For all. 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 Christ on the cross died for sin. How much sin did He die for on the cross? How much? A little bit? Part of it? Most of it? All of it. Once for all. The just for the unjust. so that He might bring us to God, having put to death in the flesh, but being alive in the Spirit. He brings us to God because He paid for all of our sins on the cross. All. People, all means all, and that's all that all means. All. That's amazing to try to put your mind around that. The Bible says that we are not saved by works. We're saved by the work of Jesus. It's called Jesus plus nothing. It's what Jesus did on the cross plus nothing, you are forgiven. It's not Jesus plus indulgences. It's not Jesus plus reading your Bible five times a day. It's not Jesus plus giving money to the church. It's not Jesus plus you getting baptized or not. It's not Jesus plus anything. It's Jesus plus nothing. Nothing. This is the gospel message. And when people mess with it, it screws up people's lives. Martin Luther was enraged. Give the church money and you can purchase people that you love out of purgatory because all their sins wasn't dealt with, just part of them was. And they're burning off the rest in this place of torment. What verse is that? It's not there. It's not there. Scripture alone, faith alone. People, it's a beautiful story. And you read in Genesis, God was talking with Abraham, and he says, Abraham, do you see the stars in the sky? He says, I'm going to make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky. And Abraham looked up and he says, God, I believe you. And God says, Abraham, you're righteous because you believe me. We're made righteous by faith. When you hear what Jesus has done for you and you believe, you're made righteous as you accept what He's done for us. Ah, these are foundational truths that you hold on to in shaky times. Scripture alone. Faith alone. Grace alone. Grace alone. Grace. Grace means unmerited favor. It means you don't deserve it. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, right? For it is by grace you've been saved. Grace? Romans 3:23 says this. For all, here's another all. All means all, that's all. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That includes you and me. For the wages of sin, Romans 6:23, is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Grace. See, there's nothing in my life that deserves the blood of Jesus. There's nothing in your life that you can say, I deserve it. You can't look at what Christ did on the cross and say, yeah, I deserve that. You don't deserve it. It's by grace. For God so loves the world, He gave. Not because you... He just gives it to you, people. Do you understand? It's unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. This is a grace where black and white and rich and poor and Democrat and Republican stand shoulder to shoulder without God and without hope in the world. See, at the foot of the cross, it's all level ground. There's no big eyes, there's no little U's at the foot of the cross. We are all equally screwed up. And none of you deserves what God has given you. It's just called grace. You don't deserve it. Scripture alone, faith alone, grace alone. Christ alone. Christ alone, Christos alone. I am the way, Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else, no one else. For there's no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved, but the name of Jesus, it's Christ alone. Right? 1 Timothy 2:5 and 6 says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. And this now has been witnessed to at the proper time. Christ alone is our Lord and Savior and King." See, our hope is not in a charismatic pastor or powerful presidents or political parties. Our hope is not in Billy Graham or Ravi Zacharias or Donald Trump or Joe Biden. Our hope is in Christ alone. In His work on the cross alone. It is finished. See, I hate to tell you this, but all people will fail you. All people will fail you except one, the God-man, Christ alone. I've been asking the Lord, "God, where are you leading? Where are you moving? Where are you going for 2021? Jesus, what do you need me to do as a pastor?" And I just kept hearing the Lord, "My people need me. My people need me." As our leadership team just spent time in fasting, God just kept saying, "My people need me." I'm like, "Amen, Lord." It's almost like God sees the times we're living in and realizes, that verse when Jesus says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how long I've wanted to gather you, as a hen would gather its chicks, but you were unwilling." Like this attitude, like God just wants to gather you close and gather you tight. And I just kept sensing the Lord going, "My people need me." I'm like, "Hey guys, well then let's give people Jesus. Let's give people Jesus." Starting next week, we're going to start a brand new series called Knowing Jesus. And we're going to enter into the early life of Jesus. I want all of us to know Him more, to draw closer to Christ. There's a mini-series that's out on the life of Jesus. Has anyone heard about this mini-series? It's called The Chosen. I'm going to be talking about it here in the next few weeks. One of my professors at Talbot Seminary is a consultant on this TV series, this mini-series called The Life. It's called The Chosen. It's of the life of Jesus. And it's really cool. It's the early years of Jesus. And I'm going to encourage you. You can download the app called The Chosen. You can go on the YouTube channel. And it's fun to watch these. I encourage you to watch them. And they're not, our faith is in Christ alone, Scripture, sola scriptura, not in a movie, not in a miniseries. It's the Scriptures. And starting next week, we're going to go on a series of knowing Jesus. But you know what? I'll encourage you to read with me and journey with me as we really try to get into and understand the person of Jesus. And if this miniseries can bless you, then I say go for it and test it and tell me what you think about it. And I'll probably be referring to it in the series. And it's kind of cool because it, as you watch it, and I've watched them all, they're not 100% perfect scripture. There's a lot of artistic license. If you can push through that, you can glean some cool stuff from this. And I enjoy it because it kind of helps you to get into who is the person of Jesus. When I was in college, this hung on my wall in my dorm. My roommate and I would always look at this. If you zoom in close, you'll see that Jesus is giving me a hug. This sits in my office, and I look at it quite often. Who is this person? The Scripture says, "This is eternal life, that you may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Someday, you're going to stand before Him. Will you know Him? Not know about Him. Do you know Him? What do you know about Him? What have you experienced about Him? It's Scripture alone, faith alone, Grace alone. Christ alone. He is who we focus on. If you focus on anyone else, you're going to get off kilter, friends. Do you know Jesus? Starting next week, we're going to be beginning a series called Knowing Jesus. And we're going to journey in trying to know the person of Jesus. Who was He? What was He like? Growing up as a little boy. Being a carpenter in Sepphoris. What do we know about Him? Next week. Scripture alone. Faith alone in the work of Jesus. Grace alone. Christ alone. For the glory of God alone. The fifth. For the glory of God alone. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, So whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, is that pretty broad? Do all for the glory of God. Let that sink in. This verse is money. The Son is the image of the invisible God, Colossians 1:5-17. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn in preeminence over all creation. He's number one. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him, and check this out, for Him. He is before all things, and I love this verse, in Jesus all things hold together. Wow. Man, think that one through. In Christ all things hold together. First Timothy 1:17 says, Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Glory to God. See, you're not going to like this, but here's the truth. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's not. It's not about your glory or mine. It's about Christ. Sometimes people have a hard time getting a hold of that. It's not about you. It's about Him. See, our chief end is ultimately to give glory to Christ alone. We don't live to please people. We don't live to build our kingdom and our empire. We are truly, if we're truly Christ followers, everything we do is for the glory of God. In the good times and in the bad. Scripture alone. Faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone, for His glory alone. The five pillars. These are spiritual truths that have always been. God bless Martin Luther. He codified these so beautifully in the Reformation, to reform, the protests. Dr. Martin Luther King believed in all of these. He was a Baptist minister, Protestant minister. Read and look at Dr. Martin Luther King. As he led in his day a protest, a reformation, it was built upon the foundations of the Protestant Reformation. He was named well. He was named well. I wish he was living today. He could lead so well once again. A godly way of bringing change to a world. He was a Christ follower. In the days in which he lived, shaky times. Do you know, I don't know if you noticed, but last year was shaky, man. Nobody saw this. A year ago this time, 2020, man, oh, it's going to be a great year. We had no idea it was about to hit us, did we? In March of this year. What? What's coronavirus? What? It's like an earthquake. No one saw it coming and bam, it's upon us and you're just trying to figure it out. And once this biological earthquake hits, you're going, we're shutting down everything? Gosh, you guys. Pastor Frank, do you know how many people I've talked to in our church that are just struggling financially? Who lost everything? Talking to brothers and sisters in Christ who in January was doing great and by July, they're bankrupt. The economic earthquake, they never saw it coming. This one brother of mine said, Pastor Frank, if it wasn't for Jesus, I'd be a mess. Christ alone, you know? He says, my wife and I are just reading the scriptures and trying to, just holding on. Shaky. Did you guys even dream that could happen? And then the social earthquakes that hit, no one saw that coming. The political insanity of, nobody saw it coming. Hey people, last year was nuts. Did you notice? They were just, our whole fabric of society shaking. What were you holding on to? What were you holding on to? For a follower of Jesus. Faith, scripture alone. Faith alone, grace alone, Christ alone, God's glory alone. I have no idea what's going to happen this year. Do you? I think this year will be better. I know of people that are getting the vaccination. Praise the Lord. What do you hold to? What foundation are you clinging to? Christ alone. Christ alone. Scripture alone. It's not by your works. And don't think you deserve the blood of Jesus. You didn't. It's by faith alone in the work of Christ. And by grace, we all stand equal before the Lord in grace. And it's not about you. It's about God, ultimately. Our goal is to give glory to God. How's that for? This is an important message. This is something you need to remember in 2021. This is what got me through 2020, friends. And this is what's going to get me through 2021. This is what's going to get me into eternity. I lost friends this last year. I lost people that I know and love that passed away. And I know where they are today, and they are not needing money from me to purchase them out of purgatory. Jesus washed away their sins. I know them. I know where Mike Kramer is, and Jake Krolik, and Jan Gilbert. Amen. Jim Wyatt, remember him? We did his memorial service here. Had over 400 people watch it online streaming. Pastor Vince lost his sister last year. Scripture alone. Faith alone in the work of Jesus. By grace you've been saved. It's in Christ alone. You're a Christ follower and nothing else. First and foremost. And it's all for God's glory. Let's pray, hey? Father, I come before you this day and I lift before you my brothers and my sisters in Jesus. Lord, I pray for them that you would encourage them today, that Jesus, you would help us all to fall on you. To hold to the cornerstone of our faith, to embrace the truth that would set us free. The truth about who you are and the truth about who we are made in your image. The truth about what Christ has done for us, for what he has done and what he is doing, even right now, as he's building and working in our lives, as he's preparing a place for us for eternity. Jesus, I pray that you would send your Spirit upon your people this morning. May you encourage them, teach them of the sure foundations of who you are and what you've done, the true teachings of Christ. Lord, may we smile not because of what's going on outside, but what's going on because of you and what you've done on our behalf and who we are as children of the living God. Lord, we are more than conquerors in Christ, Romans 8. We are more than conquerors in Christ. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Nothing. In you we don't just survive, Lord. In you, Jesus, we thrive. You created all things. In you, all things hold together. As we align ourselves with you, Jesus, life works better. God, if we're next to you, what's the worst that can happen? In Christ alone. In Christ alone.